Think we're live. All right, we're live finally. Woo. Sorry guys, we had some here we go.
All right, we're live.
What's up?
Hold on. Sorry, it's guys. Have to log into my YouTube. Sorry guys. So I want to welcome everyone to episode 45, where we finally find out who the fuck is Ryan Judd. So welcome guys. We want to go around the room and introduce ourselves.
Dave-o.
Dave with Windy City Debt Repair out of Chicago.
Ryan Shutt out of Baltimore. What's going on, guys?
So I want to welcome everyone to episode 45.
Chris is having some major issues.
I have like this
got
is
got a lot
crazy,
going on, guys.
Dave Johnson's loving my flattering picture. Windy City Debt Repair out of Chicago. It's coming from something.
I have no idea. This is crazy. Like, I have no other web, no other. There it is. I found it.
You know, Chris has got like 37 TVs in there and 12 cameras. So,
and nothing's working today. So, all right, now I'm back. Now I got to get into the chat. So, I do apologize, guys. Let me pull up this chat real quick so I can actually see. Oh man, this is all over the place, man. Day is one of those days. All right, let me get it started here. One second.
Well, while he is doing that, Ryan, what do you have tool-wise?
Yeah,
so I have my good friend, he's actually in here. Dave Johnson swing by and drop some stuff off for me today. So we'll start with the first one. The Willys Quick Tools Knockdown. It's full carbon, a little bit of like billet end. The cool part about this is it's got a magnetic tip. And it is super, I mean, it is, you can hear it. I mean, it really has got some good mag, you know, good magnet in there. It's got these little screw on adapters you can put on any tip that you have. Screw it right on the adapter, right on the tip. Drop the tip in there. I mean, it is on there. So I'm excited to use this.
But you have to have that adapter for the tip, correct?
Yes. Yes. There's not a threaded insert there. It looks like there's just magnet built into this billet adapter. Now on this tip is actually their Willy's own tip. It's also kind of like Dave Stream and has an O-ring down inside the thread, but it's inside the tip. It's not like grooved in. So,
oh, okay. That's nice.
Because
I actually have some external O-rings, but they'll fall off at times.
Yeah,
so
they'll
that's
like
nice
squish.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like a really, really good knockdown. I'm going to give it the works tomorrow. So we'll see what happens with this.
Nice.
He also brought over, and this is actually I saw this at MTE last year, and he had a prototype there, and we were just looking at it. And the Willys blending hammer. So the cool thing with this is it's all billet end, and it's got both ends are magnetic tips.
Okay.
So it's the same feature as the knockdown, you know. But I'll tell you that the magnet on here, I mean, it's definitely got some strength to it. It's carbon fiber rod. And one of the features I really like, it's got a rubber ball on the bottom.
Yeah.
So you take the rubber ball off. Whoops. Take the rubber ball off and you unscrew the handle. Okay. And you flip the handle around back on here and you gain another 2 to 3 inches on the blending hammer.
How long is it already? It looks like 2 feet.
I think it's 18 inches.
18. Okay.
So, you know, you gain this extra here. So what happens is it actually slides over top of it and re-threads back on.
Wow.
So okay. It slides back on and threads. So it's actually really a good weight, good balance. This is his new blending hammer tip. It's like a plasticky, kind of like the Dentcraft black plastic. So we'll see how this works.
Would you use that? You wouldn't use that for blending a rail, would you?
Yeah.
You would?
Why not? It's smooth. I mean, it's no worse than like a mirrored you know, we'll see. We'll find out tomorrow.
I was thinking of the weight because it's a light hammer, it looks like already.
It is light.
And having a light plastic tip at the end, but at least it comes with tips.
The good thing is it's got a really good balance in it. I don't know if it's with the weight at the bottom. It's really well made. I'm very surprised. I was a little leery. I'm always leery with the magnetic stuff in the body shops just because if you set it down, all the metal's going to stick to it. So that's all I got. Thanks, Dave, for dropping that stuff off.
Yeah, that's actually, I mean, what do you know the price of it? Did you say?
I saw online. This thing's like $250.
For the knockdown itself.
For the knockdown?
That's what it looks like. It's online.
With the tip?
Yes. Okay. This is like $170.
Hmm.
The knockdown is more than the blending hammers.
I looked on CarbonTech's website and that's what it was. I'll bring it up right now. I don't know if that's.
Wow. That's. Let me see right now. While you're still looking it up, I will. Are you done with your tools, Ryan?
That's all I got. That's all right. I got.
So I was asked to bring up or bring on the DJI Osmo Pocket for just a little mini review that we talked about the tools. So this little guy, go ahead, Ryan.
$249, and it comes with a tip holder.
And a bunch of different tips, it looks like.
A bunch of different, the magnetic ends and some extensions.
Okay.
And then it looks like the hammer is $165. So.
Wow.
So it's $79 for the knockdown itself.
Yeah.
For that bundle, it's.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well. So if anybody's interested in getting onto YouTube, I think this little DJI Pocket, I'm gonna do a full video with just this little device. But this little gimbal / camera system is pretty stout. Let me see if I can get it to turn around. You guys can see it. So it has a little screen on it. You can kind of see what I'm looking at, the camera and stuff. So if anybody's interested in getting into YouTube, I would recommend this little guy. It's about $250.
$349.
I'm sorry. Yes, $349. I'm sorry. I don't know where I got.
We're having issues with prices today, guys.
It seems that way. I can't even turn it off. So it comes in this nice little cool case, USB charging, USB-C charging. Sorry. And the battery seems to last right around an hour and a half to almost 2 hours. It has a pretty good time-lapse mode. That's what I've been doing a lot of my time-lapses with. So, you know, really good for, you know, Instagram and keeping up with some content on social media. So for $349, it's a little cheaper than a GoPro and pretty much any camera that I think all three of us use. It's like half the price, so. Check it out, guys. It just was released, I think, last Friday?
Wednesday.
Yes.
Wednesday. Okay, yeah, last Wednesday. So check it out if you guys are interested. That's all I have. Wait for the hassle. You're right, Dave. It's going to come out. And I'll probably get that too.
What's going on? What do you got, Dave?
Dave.
Nothing. I got nothing.
Dave
so
got nothing.
We can actually get right to the topic. Of who is Ryan?
Yes. So tell us a little bit about you, Ryan. Where you're at right now with the company, well, your company's name and all that good stuff, where you're based out of. And
just a dank guy from Baltimore. No, it's from Baltimore, Maryland. Most of my stuff's the surrounding areas around Baltimore and north. Have a new guy that works with me now, and there's some additions coming on next year, trying to grow, really trying to scale. The hard thing is getting guys. We're extremely busy. Most of my business is body shop and retail.
Yeah. For those who don't know, what you do primarily body shops.
Yes.
With some retail and some dealership, right?
Yeah.
So we can have a clear cut understanding of that.
What was that?
Break down a percentage. What's body shop? What's considered your retail? And
probably 75 body shop retail. I probably have 5% dealer. I don't do. I mean, I got two dealer lots, and I really don't want them. You know, it's not really the business plan that, that I was looking to do. Something different in this area than most companies do. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's I've been doing it. I think Dave and I was looking at some old paperwork since 2002.
Wow.
So I started with, I'll give you my little history. I started with, I was an inventory manager at CarMax in Laurel, Maryland. And I saw these guys coming in with a wizard on the side of their truck. And and I'm like, man, what are they doing? And I see these guys work fixing these dents. And I'm like, man, that is so cool. So I watched them for a couple months. And then one day, a childhood friend of mine, Mr. Dave Johnson, rolled in working for the Wiz and was like, man, we are making so much money. And that was back in the day. Dent Wizard had the strong arm. I mean, they were the company in town. So I watched him for a couple months and he's like, if you want a job, let me know. And I'm like, ah, I'm happy. I've got a really good job where I am now. And I just kept watching. It really interests me. And then one day I said, sign me up. So I quit my really good job at CarMax and took a job with Dent Wizard in Maryland.
And like, what did you think? Like, I mean, what did you think? Like, I'm going to go just push dents on cars and then.
Yeah. I mean, you would see see CarMax
this is my life.
CarMax is a unique place because that CarMax in Laurel is actually one of the largest car dealerships in the world. Just the footprint of how many cars are on the lot. And I would see these guys and they are just burning through cars. I mean, it was just one after the next, and they were there 6 days a week. So
cars though. I mean, that's a massive place. I mean, there's probably at least what 5,000 cars there,
more than that.
It's just unreal. It's like almost like a zip code of cars.
So you know, just was like, you know what, I was young, what do you have to lose? It looked fun. I was like, I know I can do this.
And you're into cars already. Like, you're already into cars. Yeah. Like, if people don't know, like, Ryan's big into the car scene as well. He's building a car. He's built multiple cars for SEMA. And, many accomplishments in, like, the car modifying world. So you already knew about PDR. You just, or if it was still a new process at the time.
Yeah, it was still new. I kind of really learned about it when.
You were probably still just as naive as everyone else before.
I was like, man, this knowing is what so this is. Cool. You know, you're like, oh my gosh. And I'll tell you, if you look back now, if you look at some of the older Dent Wizard tools, you're like, we used to fix cars with this stuff, you know, bend up pieces of metal. And look at the original Dent Wizard Ford tool. It's literally just a piece of rod that comes down.
Some metal. Yeah. We're fixing metal with other metal. Like, I break down to like customers and stuff that's what we do. I mean, we're just fixing metal with other metal sticks. And it's like, they look at me like we're crazy. But yeah, like, so you're young and you're like, hey, this is what I'm going to go do for the rest of my life.
So I went to dent school, did that whole thing with the Wiz in Missouri, left there, got out of there, and it hailed. Terrible hailstorm in Waldorf, La Plata, Maryland. Wow. I worked for a little while here. See, dates are tough for me. Trying to get the actual dates. I've got the timeline, but I don't have the dates. So I worked around for a little while. They had a retail shop in Rockville. So I spent quite a bit of time there with a really, really good tech. And then we had this massive hailstorm in La Plata that pretty much wiped out that city. It was a tornado came through there and just wrecked it.
You said you were working in Rockville in a retail setting. Were you fixing the same, or were they fixing the same amount, the same type of damage that they're fixing right now?
No, I think damage now is much larger.
Okay.
What were you?
I mean, back in the day, one of the main cars we used to fix is the Ford Taurus. With the big swooping body line, you know, a good crease or dent. Or, I mean, there was a guy, Chris, in there that was a beast. I mean, he was a beast. And he fixed some bigger stuff. But the stuff that's being fixed right now is a whole nother level. The industry's changed. It really has. It's changed to guys like us on the field and Dave Johnson and a lot of these guys in this chat that are out there just pushing themselves on stuff to where I passed on for a lot of years. You know what I mean? I mean, really.
Is that because, like, we thought, like, what were the capabilities? No one thought the capabilities of PDR, like,
and
no
the money
really pushed.
I don't think the money was there either. It was still new. I mean, we were getting good money for door dings and stuff, but I don't think the money was there for the large damage like it is now. You know, I mean, I fixed the hood last year, just a dent in a hood for like $1,500.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's crazy money now. So
parts is getting more expensive for cars. So now it makes more sense for PDR. You know, we have a little bit more wiggle room. Before it was like, it was kind of hard to charge over $200, maybe $300 for a dent, no matter how big the dent was. I remember when I first started. So let's talk about this La Plata storm. So
I worked with Dave Johnson right next to me for, I think a year. I mean, we worked and it was big, nasty hail. I mean, it was this terrible stuff. And we worked there for a long time and it was sad. I was staying in a hotel sometimes and we're making a ton of money and you're right next to the families that have literally lost everything. There's a video that Dave Johnson has. I'll try to get it from him and post it. Of me and him driving through La Plata right after this hailstorm in a dent lizard truck and just looking at the devastation. You know, there was a part of the video we're looking at driving through right next to a Royal Farm and the whole Royal Farm and gas pumps and everything's gone. And there's a corner of a building and it's loaded with 2 liters. Nothing else in the whole area. And there's just a corner of the building loaded with 2 liter sodas. So that tells you how finicky tornadoes are in those storms. So we worked that storm. I ended up, with me having all the relationships at CarMax and Laurel, I ended up taking the CarMax and Laurel account back over. So I was a tech in there. So I knew all the management. I knew their systems. So it worked really, really well. And I worked there for, I don't even know how many years. I mean, we did it. And there was a point towards the end of my career with the Dent Wizard that we were 7 days a week. Wow. And we were making some money. I mean, I was living at my mom's house. I was a young kid. We were making some serious money. So
they cornered the market though. When they came out, it was either us or no one else, right?
Yeah.
So that was definitely beneficial for you guys.
And there were some little guys here and there around that learned that were still using, you know, the big roll around fluorescent lights and they weren't really mobile. You know, you'd see them on the used lots, but when they set up, they're set up. So I work for them. When did I leave? So what ended up happening was we lost the CarMax account, something with numbers and money. So I didn't have anything. So we were driving from here to the Eastern Shore, from the Eastern Shore to Jersey to, we were driving everywhere to DC. We weren't making any money.
Right.
So, there were some differences. Some new management came in and there were some differences in between us and I ended up quitting. So I quit the Wiz and I worked for them, I guess, 9 years. Mm. Quit them. And I remember calling my dad.
Sorry, Ryan.
What were you going to say?
Did you have any type of plan when you quit?
No.
Or
I was
frustrated.
Yeah, it was just a bad situation.
Where else?
And I'll be honest with you. I say this to Dave Johnson all the time. If the management was better, I'd still be at the Wiz. Nice. It was such a good, at that time, it was a good company for me to work for. The guys were great. Yep. They were easy to deal with. So I quit. I called my mom and said, "Hey, can you come pick me up in Rockville?" And she's like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, I just quit." And she's like, "You know what she says? It was that bad to where she's like, I can't believe you lasted that long."
Wow.
So she picks me up. I go home and I had so much money saved. I mean, a ton of money saved. And I look at my mom and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I signed this non-compete contract with the Wiz and I'm terrified of getting sued. And she's like, do what you feel. My mom worked for the government for a lot of years and she's like, do what you feel. So I'm like, okay. So I sat at home for like 3.5 months just trying to figure it out.
And then how old you were at the time?
I don't know off the top of my head. 20, ish. Somewhere in the 20-ish, you know. So I, a company out of Pennsylvania reached out to me, and I was like, I don't want to get sued. He's like, just come sit down with me. He owned a company called Dent Crafters.
Mm-hmm.
So I met with him, and he's like, look, you get sued, we'll deal with it. Just come work for me. You won't be working in Maryland. I'm like, okay. I said, look, the only way I'm doing this is if you send me out to get recertified. So he sends me to California to Superior Institute, do their training thing, which I could have taught the class. I mean, it was he pretty much whacked the door, said, fix it, whack this, fix it, glue pull this. So we, took the class, passed the certification, came back, and I worked in Pennsylvania. All of my Dent Wizard friends, I pretty much cut off completely, kind of just fell off the map. And it is very different now because we didn't have Facebook. We didn't have social media. We didn't have anything. Like, I think MySpace was still like just starting back then. So I worked for him for 1 year and 8 months. And he was the last week I was working for him, he was acting really weird. So there was another company that I used to deal with that I was really good friends with called ARI. And they mainly did interior repairs and bumpers. And so I called him and I said, hey, something's going on. I need a backup plan here. And he's like, yeah, you got a job. I don't even care. We'll figure the numbers out, whatever. I'm like, okay, cool.
Ryan's relationships, like, still stemming back to like his early 20s. Just like, hey, I need something. Someone's got him, like, always.
So we, 2 days later, after I made that call to ARI, I get a call from this guy. And he's like, hey, I need you to meet me at this account. I'm like, okay. So I pull up, and he goes, it's not working out. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, we're done. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, we've been fine. Money's good. We're both making money. We're just done. It's just not working out. You're going to have to find a ride. So we go back again. Hey, mom, I just got fired. Can you come pick me up? So she comes, picks me up. She's like, what's going on? I was like, I don't know. Leon he let me go. You know, I have no clue. So I called Todd from ARA. I was like, can we sit down tomorrow? Leon just fired me. He's like, yeah, sure. So we sit down and go over the stuff, and it worked out really well. 3 days later, my mom was home, got a knock on the door, and it was by a sheriff getting served papers, the yellow pages I got from the Wiz. So it was they were suing me for the non-compete that I signed, which I did break. So I wasn't mad, and it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. Because it made me grow up, and it made me learn that side of the business. You know, I did all the backlogs trying to find a lawyer in Missouri. I called Todd and Todd from ARI, and I said, hey, just letting you know, I'm getting sued for non-compete from Dent Wizard. If you don't want to be involved, I completely understand. He goes, nope, I'm not scared. So what ended up happening was Leon got tipped from Dent Wizard, and they kind of scared him a little bit. And he let me go, so he didn't have any ties. So it is what it is. You know, I worked for ARI for a couple years. I actually got back in the CarMax and worked there for a couple years. And they ended up, there was another dent company from Missouri there working with me, and they were dropping the ball. So they were trying to get me to get more guys in. I'm like, yeah, I'll call more guys in. 2 days later, the manager came up and he said, don't call anybody else in. Friday's going to be your last day. I'm not supposed to tell you. We signed a national deal with Dent Wizard. And I'm like, man, I am forever just getting dropped. You know what I mean? It's just...
yeah.
So I was like, okay. So I'm back off to trying to find work again. And it was tough because I was in CarMax for so many years. It was very hard for me to go out and knock on doors and cold call. You know,
and
I was
uncomfortable. Did you know, like, you were about to start a business? Like, this is like, okay, now I guess I'm doing this as my own, like.
No, I pretty much was like, I'm still backed by this ARI company that treated me really, really well.
So at this point, where were you at in your life? Were you still at home?
I was actually living in an apartment at that point.
Okay. So it's starting to get a little serious.
Yeah. I actually ended up meeting my wife.
Okay.
So she, you know, she was been around throughout that process. So we go through the lawsuit. I supply all the paperwork. And for once, I always tell everybody all the time. I think I told Dave. And the funny story is Dave O and I met on social media about all this type of stuff. And I tell him all the time, this was the best thing that ever happened to me, just because I sit back and for once in my life, I did everything correctly. I stayed out of every Dent Wizard account. I got REACH certified. I wasn't even in Maryland working. So we went through the whole process. Took about a year, cost me $7,000 in legal fees, but I beat them. So I was scot-free from the Dent Wizard thing. And I was struggling because I was paying legal fees and I wasn't making money because we lost the CarMax account. And if you know me now, it's totally different. Now I can walk into any place and say, what do you need to fix? And I'm really good with cold calling. So we go a couple years. It was really slow. A friend of mine was opening up this reconditioning scanning company to go in and scan airbags and program computers and stuff on cars. So go ahead. You're going to say
something.
Can you
elaborate on the recertification? Jonathan's asking about that.
So the recertification pretty much is saying that you weren't using Dent Wizard's trade secrets and their training. So you went in and you learned how to push dents a different way.
Yeah.
You know, he did some classroom stuff. He did hit a car and kind of showed you a different style of how to repair a dent, different lights, different techniques. And I used it. You know, it's definitely a different way of doing things.
And that was needed for the case, right?
So yeah, that was needed. And I did that before the case. So I did that before I got sued.
It's sued. Okay.
Yeah. So I ended up leaving ARI and working for my buddy's company that was scanning cars. And my deal with him was, hey, you're in all these body shops. Let's do some dent repair for him too. So I was doing both and it was really good income.
Nice.
And what ended up happening was he ended up moving the company to a different area, making some changes. And I valued his friendship more than I did working with him. So we kind of said, you know what, we're going to split ways. And I ended up getting a job at a body shop as a manager. And I was still doing my dent repairs. My deal with him was I could run all my retail through the body shop. And if I needed to leave at lunch or leave early or come in late, that was part of the deal. So I started working there. The good thing with that was I learned what it cost to do these repairs. So what it cost to put a quarter on a car or blend or what they have to do to paint that panel. So now I knew what it would cost to fix a dent in the door that's close to the fender. I know you got to blend the fender. You got to take
value in PDR itself at that point in comparison. Well, if a body shop is fixing something that I can fix, like, I mean, and they're charging hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know,
the other big thing it did for me was it got me to build relationships with the insurance companies. You know, I look back at you always.
This is a late 20s. Like, I mean, a late 20s, Ryan.
Probably,
I mean,
this is 30s.
30s.
You know, okay. And my business kept growing. So it just kept growing. Word of mouth was getting out, you know.
The RPS, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So at this point,
and it was actually called Ryan Shutt Dent Repair when I first started it.
There's a lot of people that have their name in their companies now.
How do you feel about that now?
Hey, it was a good start.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we kind of changed it to the RPS. And it's kind of evolved to a bigger thing than it was supposed to be.
But it still has a history. I like that.
My business kept growing and I ended up leaving the body shop stuff. I looked at him. I said, look, I'm going to have to go part-time. This is why. And he's like, okay, cool. He's an awesome owner. I still do work for this body shop. So I worked for him part-time. My dent stuff was rocking. And then like a month later, I came in and said, look, I can't do both. I mean, it was just crazy. So he's like, okay,
that seemed
good luck.
To be a smooth transition.
Yes.
Where you can have a, you know, call on a friend and say, hey, look, I need to pursue this path that I've built and that he respects you. Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing.
And I still see him twice a month. You know what I mean? It's still an amazing. Yeah. And I owe him a lot. I sit back a lot. I'm like, look, I needed that. Because I'm the type of person that's very reserved. So I try to sit back and I don't jump into things. You know, I try to analyze to make sure this is going to work before I jump. So by that time, I had a wife and a kid.
What year was that? So what year was – so you started RPS Dent Repair at what year?
See, that's the problem I have is dates. Let's see. Probably two
– What car were you driving?
I still had my Civic – So it was probably our Ryan, the Ryan shut dent repair started in, I don't know, 05? I think, no, 04.
And RPS. When did you branch out to yourself?
RPS was full time 5 years ago. So,
okay.
Yeah, 5 years ago.
So coming up on a 5 year anniversary.
6 years. Yeah.
By yourself without
full RPS assistance. When it transferred to RPS.
Right. When you were doing it
full time.
I
mean, 6 years. 6 years.
Okay. 6 years.
And I remember that conversation because I looked at my wife and I said, she's pregnant. It's Father's Day. We're eating Maryland crabs. And I look at her and I said, I'm going to do this full time. And I'm going to start my own company. And she's like, are you crazy? And I was like, that's what I'm going to do. So, so now we sit back. And I look back at my situation of when I worked for my buddy that did the scanning, it let me build the relationships in all those body shops. So when I was cold calling, I could walk in and be like, what's up, Steve? He's like, what's up, Ryan? Oh, you're doing this now? No, I did this all the time. I just didn't push it on you. So it got me in those body shops. And that's the hardest part. When you're cold calling, getting to the person you need to talk to is so difficult.
Yeah.
You know, if you go in there and you already know who you're going to see or they remember you, so much easier to get the account. So I'm banging on doors. I mean, there were some days where I came home and I didn't have, I mean, I had a ton of retail and I had some body shops, but it wasn't enough to really survive. And I remember coming home and I look at my wife and I'm like, I don't know if I did the right thing, you know. It just wasn't there. I was getting kicked in the teeth all day long. And, you know, that gets really defeating. And some of you new guys are feeling that now. I think there was one guy in here a couple weeks ago that just said, I'm tired of going out and getting kicked in the teeth. And it's
what made you not give up? What feeling was it? The failure side of it? You didn't want to fail? Was it the
family? I knew I could make it work. When you just have that gut feeling when you're like, you know what, this is what I'm doing and I'm going forward and I'm just going to grind it out. I'm just going to grind it out.
You're a great tech and you knew like you're proficient in your skill. You're like, I know I can fix these cars.
Yeah.
Like and you were that confident. It doesn't matter. There's always going to be work.
There was a question I asked you a couple months ago when it was your day. And I said, do you remember a dent that made you go to the next level? And the reason I asked that is because I had one dent. I'm trying to find it right now. I'm not really prepared, am I? I had one dent that made me sit back and say, I want to do this large smashes.
Yeah.
Let me pull it up right here. It's, but, you know, it's really, and I look back now and I'm like, it's really not that big a dent. Where is it at? Here it is.
So is there anybody in your life that you can really thank them for, you know, perseverance?
There's a bunch of guys out there.
I guess 2 years or 1 year of the struggle, I guess it was for you.
Yeah. I mean, it came on pretty quick. I was working weekends. I worked every weekend
for like 8 years. Was it a mentor that you...
I had a buddy that owns a body shop that I'm still really good friends with that was super successful. Mm-hmm. And I kind of sat down with him and said, this is my plan. This is what I'm going on. And he was always behind me and, you know, kind of said, yeah, this is a good idea. No, this is a terrible idea. No, this is, you know, so he was definitely help. But there was a good, I look back now and I'm like, in those times, in those hard times, you sit back and you're like, man, this is so terrible. I'm getting dropped on my face. I'm getting fired. I'm having to quit. I'm, you know what I mean? It felt like all these downs, but I look back and every time I had a down, it supplied something that applies to me daily now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, working for my buddy Steve got me into the body shops. Working for the body shop got me in with the insurance companies. And I've got great relationships with the insurance companies just because of that. You know, a lot of the guys with the insurance companies just take my word. They'll call me, is Ryan working on it? Boom. Yeah. Don't even wait for the supplement. Fix it. Send it to me at the end.
So we have a lot of questions going on in the chat. So just so we get through these questions, let's fast forward to the goals of RPS Dent Repair in 2019, 2020. What is the vision that you have for your company now?
Right now, I have a new guy. I have another new guy that's lined up to come on in the next few months. Really just want to scale and keep going on this pace that we're on. I'm very fortunate. I've got a lot of body shop accounts, and they keep me busy. I mean, it's December and we are still rocking. I am physically looking for a location as we speak, like a full-blown retail facility. My father-in-law just came on board, so he's now handling all the paperwork. So that's a big relief from me. But yeah, it's mainly trying to move forward, get more trucks on the road. You know, my big goal right now is 4 to 5 techs and a retail location. You know, branding, that I'm very good at the branding end. So I want to make it a household brand. You know what I mean? I want to make this to where people remember the logo or remember the saying, or, you know, that's what I enjoy. And making good friendships. I mean, I got some really good guys behind me. You two have been in town helping me a couple years in a row, you know, so. But yeah.
Share this journey that you have, hopefully through your YouTube channel. I think a lot of people will be interested in seeing the ups and downs and, you know, what you learn from, you know, everyday experiences, especially on your end. And I would be interested in seeing it.
You know, it's a grind, but don't, you know, if you want to do it and you can put your head down and grind through it, and you're really passionate about it, you're going to be fine. You're going to look back and you're going to be like, man, this is the worst. Put your head down, you know, and I was super fortunate. I had a Dent Wizard boss that was a pain in the butt. And I still hear him in the back of my head because he was extremely hard on me. And he's like, you got to fix this dent because somebody else is going to fix it. If you don't fix it, put your head down and get it done. I still hear the dude's mouth. So
I want to know,
go ahead. I'm sorry, Mark, Dave.
I want to know, when did you understand, like, you were actually good at this? Like, how did, like, going back?
I still don't. You know what I mean? I'm an okay tech.
How was training for you?
It was easy. We did really well. There was a guy, Mike Stewart. He's actually a Hale tech right now, and me and him excelled in the training class.
You just understood the process, or you understood
it out and enjoyed it. I think a lot of it is enjoying. If I enjoy something, like you guys enjoy reading books, I don't. Does nothing for me. I don't absorb the content. I'm a hands-on guy. So there I had Rob Carson. He was an awesome teacher. And I just took it and was like, man, this is super cool and super fun. And I was a car guy. You know, when you're a car guy, you're gonna be fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was a car guy. Like, I'm a car guy too. I like nice cars. I like going fast in cars, but I can't work on one to save my life.
Yeah.
And so I'm just still trying to figure out, like, what do we all have that, what kind of takes us to that next level of wanting to fix these cars? And I think, you know, when you're in training, frustrating, and it's like, but being a car guy, I don't know if that maybe helps with it. Like, you want to make the car look good and you know, it's, like, it's I don't understand what it is.
It's a challenge too. You know?
Yeah, it is. Like, yeah, I think it's that. Like, we have
an ego.
That.
We've got Denkai's. Okay. If you guys have never been to MT, prepare yourself because it is a ego fest. Denkai's are full of egos.
Only on that day, though. Come on, man. Not all of
We've
them.
We've all got egos. Come on. We've all do.
Down there. There are a lot of lifted trucks, and they will be parked at certain restaurants for sure, but it's not all the guys, man. I've met some
There is a lot of egos at MT, but it is fun. I enjoy it.
This is the one time that the guys can let loose. Their
True.
Phone's not True. Ringing.
True.
They actually get time to go to the bar with other guys that are in the industry instead of being rushed to the next location.
Yes.
So they do tend to – well, you never will have to buy a drink if you go to the right bar. Let's just say that.
Yes. You know, it's been a journey, but I don't regret any of it, man. It's been super awesome.
James had asked, what's your biggest triumph to date? What would you say out of your PDR career, what's your biggest triumph to date?
Growing. My business is growing faster than I want.
So it's just overall sales?
Yes. Yes.
Is that what you're classifying as growing or is it?
Trying to train techs as fast as the business is growing. Okay. So my business is growing as in sales, as in accounts. And trying to get techs up to speed to help with that load is definitely the challenge. And finding good people, you know, I'm super selective and super picky. And the guy Shane that's with me, I blew him off for 4.5 months. Literally blew him off, and he kept calling and kept calling and kept calling. I'm like, this dude's not giving up.
Perseverance, right? It comes right back.
You know.
Yeah, you're so, just doing what you were doing.
Yeah, it's a drive, man. Put your head down and make it happen. You know, it's and I'm a big, and you guys have seen it, I'm very, very big with building relationships. If I didn't have the relationships in place, I don't know if I'd be as successful as I am. You know, that's the part I enjoy.
Yeah, definitely. And you're very good at it. I mean, I think you said you remember faces and names.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a crazy quality that you have.
I can't spell, but I can walk in and be like, you used to work at Severn Auto Body and your name's James. And he's like, yeah. What's up, Ryan? I'm like, hey. And that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
That's a great quality to have. That's, you know, a lot of people that, you know, I'm bad with names or I'm bad, you know, I don't remember people. And, you know, it's a good quality to have, especially when you're in this type of business where these people are moving around a lot. And, you know, you body shop to body shop to body shop, and you're still remembering James from 1988 when he was at whatever.
It's a terrible thing because you'll be at the mall and you're walking through and you're like, I know that dude. You know, I know that dude from somewhere, and it'll bug you for 3 hours, and you're like, "Oh, he used to work at Service King."
So, I was gonna ask one more, and then we'll probably get into these questions. But for 2019, what does RPS have in store for 2019?
Crushing it.
What are your goals? What's a goal?
What's crushing it?
Get some more guys on the road.
Scaling, growth.
Yeah, scaling, scaling. The numbers are there. You know, I do
the scale.
What was that?
What sparked the scale? What sparked the hiring? Because you're scaling.
I've always wanted it. This has been a dream of mine. You know, my dream is have this retail location and then have a couple guys on the road. It's always been my dream. You know, I've sat back
you're
and when
right
I
now, the
when
building
I
process.
When I did this business plan, I said, this is what I want to do. If I can make it happen, great. If not, I'm making good money doing what I'm doing and I'm enjoying it, you know, and I sit back. I actually just said it on Saturday. I said to my wife, I said, you know what? I need to enjoy this more. This is the part. And I've said it to people all the time. Enjoy the journey, but I'm not doing it to myself. You know what I mean?
First book, Dave.
Enjoy the journey. So, you know, I don't know. It's going to be exciting 19. You know, a lot of changes.
Yeah. And so scaling with growth, I mean, it's stressful. So it's going to probably be a fun, exciting, stressful year for you.
Oh yeah. It's going to be amazing.
You know, and that's just the nature of our business. Scaling this type of business is very hard. Yeah, really. You know, getting a good tech to understand what we do and getting a tech to stick around and service, you know, your customers like you would is
exactly very tough. Having them do it like this. This is why I try to explain it to my new guy. This is why I say to do it this way. Not saying it's always the right way, but it's working. And if you have other ideas, let me hear them. I want to hear your ideas, and I'm willing to make changes if you think it's a better way. Mm. So, you know, that's awesome. I want to run everything like a family. Even my accounts, I run them like family, you know.
Definitely.
And they're inviting me. I've got this week, I've got the rest of the week, I've got Christmas parties for all these body shops. So it's, you know,
and they all want you there.
It's a big family.
So I think we should get into these. John had a serious question. He said he's a new tech fresh out of training. He's not getting enough work to survive and he's running out of money quick. He wants to stay in it, but doesn't know if he can.
John or Jonathan, which one? Which
Jonathan? Jonathan. So I said he needs to, start really knocking on those doors even more. And he says he has been, and I don't know if it's an attitude thing or if maybe it's the time of the year type thing, but this moment in time, I'm just trying to show everyone the skill that I have and charge them for it by doing a good job. So I'm going to, I'm going to the Rock Lots. I'm going to any body shop I can. It's kind of like that. What's that movie, Pursuit of Happiness, where you just never like quits. I'm waking up and I'm going to be trying to get work for that day.
Let's be real.
And that's what I'm going to try to be doing as a newer tech.
So let's be real. I was blessed I would say blessed because it lead me into a right direction here. But I was blessed to have to build from scratch, not given anything. I did have a strong name behind me. They gave me an invoice book and they say, great, go take your training and try to build accounts. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. So me walking into Nissan, such and such Nissan, I'm going to get trampled. I'm going to get ran right over. There's no way they're going to switch their PDR guy unless they don't have a PDR guy or upset. This may be the wrong kind of mentality, but you need to go to the smaller dealerships because not only are you getting paid, I know money is important, but if you're not pushing, that's even more detrimental to your growth. You have to keep pushing. If it's for $50, $25 for that dent, add it up, you made $100 that day, it's something. So, and I didn't know this, but, you know, go where you need money. If you're right now, you're like, look, I can't survive another month, just go to where they're not going to be I'm losing my train of thought. But you know they're not going to be that
discouraging. They're not going to be trying to cut you off right away. They may work with you, especially with smaller dealerships.
It could be, you know, the crappy work that they have. The lot is just hard to get to. They can't even keep a dent guy. Because right now you still don't even know how to explain your services to the bigger body shops or someone that actually knows a good dent guy compared to you. Because if you just come out of school, there's no way you're going to be better than a 5-year tech. I'm not going to sit there and BS you. Mm-mm. So you got to stay in your lane a little bit. And that's just going to those Rock Lots, going to those auctioneers. Like even if you go to the auction and just be like, I can fix that for $50 right now. Watch, no paint. I'm not going to touch your car. Just stay outside the auction. There's tow trucks right now that don't have work, but they're out front of the auction house waiting for cars that can't make it down the street. And like, look, I can tell you $100 right now. That's the guy you need to be. That's where you need to be. Not going to Nissan and Toyota and all that stuff.
You know, go to the car washes on a Saturday.
Yeah, I said car washes.
There's 100 cars there. You know what I mean? Go knock on those doors. Car shows. Go around. Pass out your cards. Cars and coffee. There's a million options out there just to get out there. And as soon as you start building that clientele and building that customer base, it'll happen.
Do a few for free.
Yeah.
Once they see you working on someone else's car, they're going to start asking you, hey, what are you 100%. Doing? Hey, you're getting out of this car. And then now you got the the flow going on a good Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said he's been meeting with another tech on Mondays, but it's free practice. So I would be asking this other tech that you work with any information he can give you as well on the area, maybe places to go. If he services places, you wouldn't, you know, hey, I'm not going to step on your toes, but where would you recommend? Yeah. And I'd be trying to use any resource I can.
Yeah. One thing I did was I called around to different guys, different techs, and I basically told them, hey, is there any lot that you would stay away from? Yeah, I don't go there, and I'll just go there. So that way I can get the business because I know they're not there. So,
and do your homework. I said that before. Call, find out who the managers are of these places. So you already have that name. You know, do the homework. I think Dave typed it in there. LinkedIn.
I just can't remember any big dealership that I got my first or second or even third year out. I just wasn't blessed to have that. I worked on a rock lot. I thought that was all it was.
I was confident enough in my skill, but I wasn't confident enough to walk into these places with that skill.
Yeah.
So if someone came up to me, you know, and it took me a while to get to that point. And that was after I had locked down a couple other dealerships through word of mouth. That built my confidence talking to these people as I built that to be able to then go into any other place. So
that's maturity too.
You know, I was younger and I'm still young, but even younger trying to go into these places and they're looking at me like, a serious thing. And so, you know, and that's hard for me to combat. And I wasn't confident until, like I said, I picked up a couple other places that helped me build that confidence just by talking to the people in that dealership. I was able to kind of go anywhere else. So, you know, it's hard, you know, it is tough out there, but I would be trying to exhaust any little option you have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And your network, find out the businesses in the area. Most of them have like a marketing network, breakfast, lunching on the weekends. Go to those, pop your head in, you know, anything in that ring that you can get yourself out there that, you know, and I know I say this all the time, branding. I mean, I wear an RPS shirt almost 7 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, and I go out. And it just sparks conversation. So you're getting to know that person without asking them who they are, or they're coming up to you and they're like, oh, you know, I'm a manager at Nissan. And you're like, really? Well, we've got a guy, but give me your card. Boom. You already got his name. And then you stop in there in a couple weeks. Keep that face going. You know, biggest thing is don't
long term, short term.
Yeah.
Jonathan, you're right now where you need to kind of be more into the short-term sales and then obviously do what Ryan does and just make sure you wear your shirt when you go to those short-term places. Mm-hmm. Stop at, you know, maybe a donut shop and grab a dollar donut, but they see the car and all that stuff. There's little small stuff you can do, but for immediate sales, it's stop by reconditioning shops that are prepping cars.
Detailers.
Detailers, they tend to sway quickly from dent guys are not as loyal or new detailers. And you know, you got to break off a little bit of a commission, but for instant sales, it's those dirty, not I shouldn't say dirty, but it's just those grimy.
It is
working outside. I mean, you'll just be working on crap, man, but it's going to make you way better. Wow.
And you know, just put your head down. If you really, really want it and this is what you want to do, it'll work out.
Yeah, for sure.
So David asked Ryan, what's the percentage of damage your body shops give you regularly between dime, nickel, quarter, semi-smash, and full smash? So
well, I don't even know what a quarter, of damage, quarter, dime, and nickel is. I don't get anything like that.
Your most body shops don't.
Most of my stuff, I'm climbing ladders and fixing roofs and I do more roofs in Maryland than any tech in the state. I can truly say that.
I don't know when the last time I worked on a roof.
you know, it's most of my stuff smashes. Most of my stuff smashes. So I rarely get like a ding. And if it is a ding, it's something that they're eating that I'm either not charging them much or doing it for free. So, and I still do a lot of free stuff.
Your stuff is a lot of body line complex, weird, you know, weird spots that, or, you know, right before paint, after paint, type stuff.
And a lot of, like I said, a lot of roofs. I mean,
I can't stress that enough. I do a lot of roofs, guys.
I really do. I got a video I'm dropping on Thursday. It's just talking about roofs, smash roofs. So.
Anything you guys need to know about a roof, just contact Ryan. He's probably taking the headliner down or at least worked on the metal.
Yeah.
Talking about smash tools. I don't quite understand what he's talking about. I guess tools to use for smash damage.
Yes.
Anything that can give you leverage. Mm-hmm. I don't have that.
I'm saying dentile, anything with a big rubber ball on it, interchangeable double bends.
Cold
that's
glue.
Gonna give me power and leverage. Cold glue, Ryan uses cold glue. But yeah, anything that's gonna move a lot of metal at once.
Yep.
So big interchangeable, you know, rubber balls, big rubber tips, dentile. It's got power. It's got complexity and versatility.
Peterson Dent Repair saying going the extra mile with every customer, and that does go a long way. So you write up this customer's dent in his door, and you see in the rear door it's got another dent or dent and a quarter. I'm gonna just take care of this. I've already got the tools out. Just handle it. It's going to take you, as long as it's not smashed, but, you know, it's going to take you 15 seconds to fix those dents. And you know what that's going to do? He's going to go to breakfast with his buddies and be like, I have this dent guy. Mm-hmm. And there, your name's already the three guys. So don't think because you're doing free stuff, it isn't going to come back.
Hey, Ryan, is it still called sticky key tap tape?
I haven't seen it lately. I think it is still called the sticky tab tape. There is another company coming out. I think it's German or Australian. It's that Glaxo. I keep seeing it on Facebook and Instagram. So I'm sure it'll be out at MTE. So we'll be able to physically see it and touch it. I think James Lee has some of the original cold glue coming. That's with the slide hammer and stuff. So.
So there was a really good question here too. There's someone who's been pushing for about a year and a half now and getting paid hourly, but he's not sure if he wants to leave and work for another PDR company because he doesn't know if they're going to hire him. Any idea what he should do best if you were in his shoes?
Did they train you, and do you have a non-compete?
Okay.
That's your first step.
So I was going to say stick it out and build your skill.
Yes.
Stick it out, build your skill, and once that is built up and confident, I think especially in the beginning where you're at now, skill is definitely more important. Getting that down will help a ton.
I think a lot of dent guys, at least the ones that I've known that are very, very successful, and Ryan, your story, you know, proves it, was they got a little bit of help their first to second year. When I was doing PDR, my first, I think, 2 years, I was living at home. My first year, I think I made $16,000. Mm-hmm. Just to give y'all guys some perspective here, second year was maybe $21,000. But right around that third year, you start to grow. You're starting to get more proficient at what you're doing and all that good stuff, you know. But, you know, hopefully that helps you guys when it comes to that. But if you get a little bit of assistant, maybe a second job. I mean, Ryan, you were doing, you know, part-time for, what, 2 or 3 years is what it sounded like.
Yeah, it was, I guess, 2 years. Yeah.
2 years before you completely made the switch. So, you know, try that out, guys. It's very hard to go in all in just doing PDR and no one knows you.
Yes, it is.
That's
really hard. And it is defeating. It is very defeating.
Do something that gets you in the industry, maybe get you into those body shops, like what Ryan was saying, and then make your transition to PDR. I had a part-time job. Well, we'll go over when I had my thing, but I think you definitely need help your first 2 years. It's pretty brutal.
And it's a mental thing. A lot of it's mental, you know, just put your head down and weather the storm. Because at the end of the day, you know, you can make it work.
Yeah.
He said right now it's on pace time where he's at, and they're only giving him 22 minutes per car.
The Den Olympics.
Because he had tonight's son. That's pretty challenging. So, yeah. You know, and that's I don't know. Obviously, I think working for another company or at least a legit PDR company would help out in that aspect. But I would want there to be more training. If they're going to kind of say, hey, you have experience and throw you to the wolves, I feel like you can get a better understanding of where you're at now taking the hourly. And just still building your skill and having that time to mess up. Cause I know where you're at now does have a body shop. So if you work for another company, a lot of those cars or repairs are either have to be paid by you or maybe a portion is paid by you. Or right now, I would think maybe you're a little covered a little bit more of where you're at. So I would just be really concentrating on building my skill.
And that's making you more viable, a more viable tech. When you do submit that, you know, resume, they're going to go, I really need someone, you know, ready to go.
Who can work on larger damage or more complex damage. And you've been spending that time working on those things where you're at now. So that's just my two cents. I can't, you know, it's a kind of seems like a complex situation.
Yeah.
Brian, go to paint supply guy. He will hook you up.
It's a good idea.
Someone asked, what's that black triangular thing against the wall behind you, Ryan?
That thing right there?
That's
two Civic quarter glasses for my Civic that I'm in the middle of this full rebuild. So, and then I've got this old dashboard over here from when it was built. That dash was in the car when it went to SEMA last year. So I got car parts all over the place, man.
If you guys didn't know, Ryan's hobby is building cars, customizing cars, modifying an entire car, ripping the entire car apart and putting it back together piece by piece. So that's what he does in his off time.
It sounds like fun.
So, but that's, I think that's everything. And Ryan, thank you for sharing your story. That was
definitely,
you know,
that was great.
Great.
Sorry, I rambled a little bit, but it's kind of a longer story. So.
Interesting. I never even heard all of that.
More life experience. So
yeah,
you know, and I told someone in the chat. I said, you know, when Ryan says he's gotten his teeth kicked in, he has. You know, there's been a lot of ups and downs throughout his PDR career, that you know has gotten him to this place now of where he's very confident in his business, and with the skill that comes along with that business as well. So
let me tell you,
ready to see what 2019 has.
I didn't do it by myself. I had some really, really good people and friends and family behind me. So, you know,
nice.
You know, just your support and your network is more important than most things. If you have a strong network, you're going to be just fine. Or start building your network, and it'll all work out. Yeah. You know, another MTE thing
is a great place to start, guys.
Yeah, dude. MTE. If you guys aren't coming, you're really missing out. Really try to make it down there. It's a great networking place. I mean, you could walk up to anybody in that place and they'll talk to you.
You guys don't even have to buy a ticket for the place, which I don't even know if I did or not yet, but I think I need to. Yeah. But you could just drive up like to the hotel and there's going to be guys there that you could talk to and then leave that night or whatever, you know. So, it's a great place. And I think I kind of cut you off, Ryan, but
it's all good.
By your support. But
I got a wife. I get cut off all the time.
And people are asking, are we going to be on for Christmas Eve next Monday? And that is a negative.
No,
we will not be doing the show next week.
And we won't be on for New Year's Eve. So we're 2 weeks off, guys. The first 2 weeks we're taking off.
You know, the big major holidays that usually everyone is doing something. So
I think if it wasn't Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, we're probably
not. If you're not, you can just DM me and we could have a chat. So,
guys, Merry Christmas. And let's go around the room. Do our little
Dave with Windy City Dent Repair, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. If I don't answer your friend request on Facebook, just message me and say, hey, it's from the PDR workshop, because sometimes I'm like, I don't know who this is, so I won't answer. So just message me and I'll accept it. But yeah, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, guys.
Ryan, you know me. Old dent guy. See, I'm the old guy that's hanging out with the young guys. So just take that tip and remember it. You let them waste their money on this.
He's really the smart one, guys. He's the really smart one.
But
hi guys,
I'm pushing Christian. That. Huh? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Nope.
You
go
sure?
For it. Yep, we're good.
All right, Chris Dillon's touch, guys. See you in 3 weeks, right?
Yep.
Yeah, sorry, guys. So 2 weeks off.
So get your questions locked and loaded and saved. Get them saved. And hit that subscribe, RPS Dent Repair. And
comment for topics. Anything you guys want us to talk about, like, we literally take them into consideration. And we have a whole list of topics that we need to do. So please send those. And put them in the comments, email us, DM us, something. Just if it's two words, I don't care. Just the topic that you guys want us to talk about. Thanks,
we've
guys.
We've got some really good people coming on and some good topics for next year. So prepare yourself.
Definitely.
See you next year, guys.
See you next year.